go flow or?
Let's go in order, I think.
Okay, cool. All right, well, this just started recording, so.
All right.
Whatever, I can cut it out. So, hey, everybody, welcome to Stunker Indie Audio 1116, I think. Whatever. You know, we have notes on what we're going to talk about, but not notes on the actual setup of the show. So, whatever. It's me, Jeremy. Joining me this week is Chris, because we haven't done this in a while. What's up, man?
Not much, man. What's going on?
Well, I think we've talked plenty enough about what's going on, and nothing good so far tonight on Tuesday.
No.
Man. I like NXT enough, right? I know you don't. This show...
No, not at all.
Yeah, this show's garbage.
Lately.
This show's absolutely garbage tonight. Well,
I feel like NXT has just fallen and fallen and fallen. I mean, you can pinpoint it to the moment they began this TNA bullshit. Or at least it, when it expanded. When it was just Joe Hendry and Jordan Grace, I guess it was fine. And it was, you know, novel then. Then it's just TNA's, the curse of TNA just engulfed NXT, I guess.
Well, I mean, it split off, this wasn't on the list, but whatever. But it's like the list of NXT wrestlers just diminished out of the blue in order for all these TNA guys to come in. And now there's a whole faction of NXT wrestlers on TNA television that never gets acknowledged on NXT. And they're guys that used to be featured on NXT. The opening segment tonight was fine. It was fine. Stupid.
It's
fine.
Like, you remember, I don't know, you may not have been watching any of this stuff, but if you follow the afterbags in the 90s, like when WWF guys would go down to Memphis and they would work heel against Lawler, who was a face. It's like that, except everything's on national television now, so everyone sees everything, or can see everything, I should say.
Yeah. Like they had, who was... Lexus King just jobbed out to that guy doing cheerleader stretch moves. What was his name?
Shiloh something?
Bodie Mil- No, I almost said Bodie Mil- Shiloh Hill?
Shiloh Hill, I think.
Whatever, I don't care.
I don't watch LFG. I don't care. This is just another, you know, dark, weirdo character. I made the joke even before we started recording. You know, dark, brooding, weirdo character, number 1,000 in Triple H's WWE. He really loves to go to that well. Whatever it is.
It's
some type of
We'll talk about that in a second. But I didn't mind the opening segment. Jarrod Evans wants a title match now. Cool. It's very clear Ricky Saints is going to do something. Fine.
We haven't even talked about Deadline and we're talking about tonight's NXT.
Well, sure. Deadline happened. Jarrod Evans won the Iron Survivor. Kendall Gray won Iron Survivor. Tatum Paxley lost, but now she has nothing to lose, so she's going to attack everybody. It's actually, of all the stuff that happened tonight, to me, that's the most intriguing, only because you don't really have a woman, like, openly saying she's going to go take out two guys. So, I like the reversal of it.
I like it. I do like it. So, again, as I said, it's dark, weirdo character again, but she does well, and
yes, she does.
And it's fun. It's so yes. This is a good thing. The match they had on Saturday was the best I've ever seen out of Izzy Dame. So again, she did a really good job playing power wrestler. She did. A lot of women wrestlers, even the taller ones, don't a lot of times still struggle with learning how to use their size to their advantage. Indy Hartwell, I'm looking at you.
Well,
but Izzy Dame, someone taught her how to use her size to her advantage, and it led to a really good that style of match.
I thought it was okay. I think you and Kevin liked it a lot more than I did. I just thought it was okay. I also, Kevin pointed out the part that lost me for them was just the dumbass acting.
Yes, like, that lost me too. Yes, and Vic was just terrible on commentary.
You can just stop.
He was like he was crying about what's happened to Tatum Paxley recently. It's like and of course Booker's doing his best. I don't know if he's doing an impression of anybody, but
Booker's doing his best to do.
Yeah.
You know, like,
He's just saying things.
yeah, it real
And
okay.
what he's saying isn't wrong
There's just
most of the
so
time.
much. There are
It's so
so
much,
many
yes. And
words.
he buries
He
most of
do
the baby faces 6 feet under.
well. Elise like looked at me today and was like, "Wait, Booker likes Oba?" I was like, "Yeah, I know. Weird, right?" Because they usually that skin tone ain't his favorite. So,
Which
which is ironic, but whatever. But yeah, there's so many problems. Like I like Deadline the show, you know, like because there's no. I started getting lost after Jordynne Grace lost today. I was already kind of like with this show. She loses, okay, looking like a total dumbass. Then Thea Hale correctly points out, "Hey, you're Georgia, blah blah blah." I'm taking advice from a rookie? Like, oh boy, oh no. But not before the entire women's locker room just decided to pick up a tension band to warm up for the Women's North American title thing. Then they all walk out. And Blake Monroe, who's been like a stand-up champion, you know, kind of like an edge doer, all of a sudden is like scared. I'm like, okay. Thea Hale taps her in a second. Vic, who's terrible, decides, "Oh my God, it's the greatest thing I've ever seen." And then, oh, wait a minute. The match never started, Booker. You're right. Booker never said the match never started. So I, and then we started the show, and like that's a bad way to start the show. Oh no, no. We had to watch Bodie Miller, whatever his damn name is, come out. So I got to pull myself out of these doldrums to talk about some other stuff that really isn't that good.
No.
Cool. I love doing Tuesday shows.
I thought I thought you didn't like
No,
Thursday
I like
either.
doing Thursdays because it's like the end of the week. Yeah, I just whatever. I like doing shows, but it's like we got our list of stuff, and I'm like, where do we find the positives here?
I don't
So,
know if there really is great positive this week. I think we've. Go ahead.
let me ask you one thing before we do. This pertains to Raw and some of the stuff we're going to talk about. What was that show Monday? You had Gunther comes out, and then honestly, there were a lot of production gaffes, and then just, action. Like,
He had.
did
He didn't
they?
have much to say, or he just. He just, I'm gonna tap Cena out. They're not. I mean, other than Cena's press tour, which we'll get into, they're not really priming us very much for this. There's a couple of videos, the stupid Tom Rinaldi thing.
Oh,
What they should have done is, because we're pointing out that Cena hasn't tapped out in over 20 years, or maybe they want to. Maybe this is why they're not gonna do what I'm about to say, because they don't want to pretend that it never happened. They
well,
should have
they're.
brought out Kurt Angle to confront Gunther, the only other man to ever tap out John Cena.
Here's the thing. Kurt doesn't do well with lines.
No, he hasn't in a long time,
So
yes.
it's like, no. No. Like, the last time I saw a Kurt Angle interview or something that was like fun, I think he was on the Undertaker's thing. And him and Taker were just shooting the breeze. I'm like, this is like the most clear-headed and like concise Kurt Angle I've heard in a while. And I'm not implying anything by that. I'm just saying like he can just be free and to be himself. Which, you know, something else I guess we can get into. But it seems like we've gone back to having scripted promos again. And it's kind of hurt for a lot of stuff. Not everybody, of course, but anyways. But no, I just thought the show Monday was just drab. I don't
Oh, it
understand.
absolutely was.
I don't understand the Logan Paul stuff. Like, Braun and Braun are badasses. Well, Logan Paul was like the cocky guy, and he's kind of like now doing chicken shit heel stuff. It's just a weird, I don't know, it's like a weird dynamic now, and I don't get it, but
Yeah, they do have to do some work with it, I think, to really Because here's the thing. If they let it happen, Logan Paul can overshadow Braun and Bronson.
Yeah, that's true.
And part of me wouldn't surprise me because he is getting heaped with praise. I mean, he's got Nick Khan kissing his ass, he's got Triple H kissing his ass, he's got John Cena kissing his ass. I mean, and it's all well earned. I mean, he again, I'm better natural at this than most, full time performers. But yeah, it's still, I guess him being on the show seemingly every week is new. It's different. And Nick Khan during Logan his podcast with the podcast with Logan Paul is basically telling Logan, give up boxing. And focus fully on this, and it's time. It's basically saying it's time for you to just be a weekly character on this show, and not just show up every few months.
I have not watched that one or listened to it, so this is all news to me. I don't think Nick Khan would be that interesting, but that's if he did say that, that's pretty interesting because I thought it's been weird that he's been on the last few weeks.
And he hasn't really had as much to. It's not to set up a big match anytime soon. The Royal Rumble's not till the end of January, for God's sakes. But he's showing up, and again, the chemistry with him and Heyman and the Braun Brons probably does need to be worked on. And again, there needs to be some more of a hierarchy here. If it's Braun, then it should be Braun. But maybe if it's gonna end up Logan Paul, then maybe it should be Logan Paul. I mean, I know, Bron Breakker's the future. I don't necessarily know if he's gonna, get the title in on January 5th or not. But I really could see the path to Logan Paul ending up champion in 2026 and getting it before Bron Breakker.
See, I don't think he wins it in January, Braun, but I think Braun's the guy that does get it first. But I don't know. And then that kind of threw me because I never really thought of Logan Paul getting a championship because he's not really. I guess the character he has been shouldn't even be in this group. But I guess like I don't know much about him, but like watching his podcast, it seems like he's pretty tight with his boys. So I guess if these are like his boys, it would make sense. But yeah, I don't know. I just think like Braun's got the rocket now. And I think the last 2 weeks, especially talking, he's earned it more. And Bronson is just kind of the muscle. So it's like, where does Logan Paul fit in? So I don't know.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, I do have some questions, and then of course there's the masked man stuff. Supposedly there was a different person under the mask than there was at Survivor Series. That's what I read today. So they might be fooling around with. This has been done in the past, I think, with masked men angles. They've swapped out who's wearing the outfit. To keep people from off the scent of who it'll eventually be unmasked as officially.
What was the difference? I didn't see any of a difference. I didn't really pay much of attention. Like,
I didn't really pay
what was
much attention either.
what was
I mean,
supposedly different?
I don't know. Just
Oh.
some just it was just that's
Yeah.
like I think that was from something from Brian Alvarez that it was
Oh,
a different
whatever.
person. I mean the one in Survivor Series was Austin Theory and he has been the most suggested person for the role, but it might not turn out to be him in the end.
Okay. Should it? I don't.
No, it
Yeah,
absolutely
I
should not.
know. He doesn't fit in this.
No, he doesn't fit in,
And
and it's ridiculous to waste another shot on him.
I think they know if they believe that he can be salvaged, and that's cool. But in this group, no, it doesn't work. He's basically going to be the Daniel Garcia or the Wheeler Yuta of this. He's
Yes,
just there
exactly.
and going nowhere. But never mind. I should just stop myself.
What?
It's just, but a far better Daniel Garcia So at least Austin Theory looks like he, you know, can do something. Anyways, this is not an AEW show. So, all right. But yeah, I just thought Raw was weird. The last segment went on too long. Like, did Logan Paul and Bronson Reed not run back quick enough? Like, why did he go into another thing? Did he forget his promo? The weird interaction backstage with them where Logan, like, calls Paul to the side. And the camera just blatantly follows him. Like, why are we talking here? Like, I don't know. Something seems off again with the storytelling. Like, that sort of stuff shouldn't be on. And that's the kind of thing that had been, like, gone away from. Like, the oblivious camera.
Yeah.
And now it's back. So, yeah. There's some, to me, there's something weird going on. That's something we can talk about on a different show. Because on Raw, we had, we'll start with this because I don't have a lot to say about it. Stephanie Vaquer, destroyed Nikki Bella.
Yeah, so those are Jackie Redmond's words.
Oh my God. I thought I heard it wrong. And then you hit the group chat. I was like, okay, I did hear that. Then comes out to confront, gets bitch slapped, and she's gone.
Yeah, no. Yeah, Raquel, who's already had her shot too, pulls her off, gets her over her shoulder, runs her into the ring post. She's just done. She is out. This was a burial. I don't think we've seen one like this in a while on WWE television. Someone just does not like this woman. Maybe never wanted her back. You could probably guess who that might be.
who would you think?
Just Triple H.
Mm. Well, then why is she back then?
Maybe it was a deal made by Nick Khan and the TKO heads over his head. And then, you know, here we signed this really famous person. Do something with them.
See,
I never had a huge problem with Nikki. I think that towards the end, especially, she'd found her way. I think. Towards the end of her full-time career, she was good enough to be carried and had her persona. Brie was the one who never really got good at wrestling at all.
Yeah, I was never a fan of either one of them, so I'm not gonna agree. She fucking sucks. The character sucks. The idea that little girls would look up to her is atrocious. I hate everything about it. She got better in the ring. Cool. Well, you know, going from 30 degrees to 31 degrees means you heat it up. So, big deal. I don't care. There's no reason she should have been brought back. And like you implying or saying whatever that this could have been an over, up the chain sort of thing. Really, if so, shows you the dysfunction that is the stuff then. Because you have a guy that's a head of creative. You don't go, hey, I just bought you a puppy. Put it into a storyline. What? No. I'm head of creative. Why are you buying me stuff? I'll ask you for the stuff. Or you can come to me and go, hey, do you want one of these? I'm like, no. But that's also corporate America. So, and that's all this thing is now. But
oh yeah, it definitely is. Yeah.
Nikki Bella is fine for a one-off. That's all it should have been. You know, the new terms, give her flowers, get the fuck out, and that's enough. We'll sell some more Bella shirts. You got your Legends deal. Cool. I think this is leading to Brie coming back so that they can be a tag team and take on, you know, Raquel and whoever her partner is. Yeah.
It could be that.
Cool.
I also saw something that they might turn Nikki into some kind of a manager.
Perfect. Because you can hate her on the outside of the ring. She doesn't have to wrestle.
Yeah. This return hasn't worked. She's multiple steps behind. She's not catching up.
Yeah.
And then to give her multiple opportunities too. Yeah, but man, that kind of a burial. Holy wow.
Yeah.
I just like I said, I mean,
Yeah, because you don't hear those words,
no, you don't. You never you should never use those
Okay,
words
I'm
that,
sorry. You don't hear those words from an announcer.
No, you don't.
A wrestler,
And that's
sure,
the
but
no. And of course Jackie Redmond was fed that line, and again, someone wants people to stop seeing Nikki as having any kind of credibility in the ring. They want that to be, they essentially want that to be done. And even with the Dotta the Bellas in this tag division, with the fucking equality in this women's tag division, this women's tag division is probably the best thing in wrestling right now, for God's
Yeah, but the
sakes.
quality could really be increased when Bianca Belair comes back, and then they could have like a single shoot offshoot of it with Nikki Bella versus Bianca Belair. I got through that with a straight face.
That doesn't even make sense,
No, it
really,
doesn't.
but
But what I'm getting at is someone like Bianca Belair. Then we have Nikki Bella come in. You were talking about like the amount of talent, right? But
yes, of course, yes.
yeah, it's just she doesn't fit with the people who aren't there right now. Like that's how much this square peg fits in the size of a thimble.
No, I guess the worst woman wrestler in WWE right now is probably Raquel. Would you say but she's shown improvement.
Yeah, I was like, okay. So
Who else isn't good? Like, it technically isn't good.
well, this is a funny topic because we've talked about, Kevin and I know have, you can't be bad and be on the main roster as a woman.
No, you can't.
And we used to always point out the obvious target of Nia Jax. Well, she doesn't qualify anymore because she's entertaining now.
Yeah.
Alba
Well, I mean, I
Fire. I'll
guess the
just go
next
Alba
one.
Fire because she doesn't wrestle much. Oh, B-Fab. There, B-Fab.
B-Fab. Yeah, B-Fab,
Sure.
she's still, she's still green. Yeah. And then of course there's the Maxine Dupri experiment going on.
But she's over because she's entertaining.
She's ever entertaining,
So,
and she really does work hard to get better. It, it,
yes.
it it's that it's yeah.
It's that rub
I mean,
off.
I, yeah. There, there, there's some. Yeah, there's some. Yeah. Oh yeah. Great choice of words.
But no, it's like, but it
Anyway.
is funny to say like who's the worst wrestler on the who's the worst wrestler? And you're like, well, there's still a six or a seven, you know?
Yeah,
There's
something like
no
that.
twos. So, but well, the other burial, well, I'll say burial because this is a very awkward thing, and it's something I believe it has to play out. But Jey Uso going back to the tag team division just seems like a step back for the time being.
It is. It
But it's
because
so weird.
I it is weird. And you could tell he wasn't totally with it. Especially as Jimmy was saying, mentioning all the L's. You could see the anger still on his, even under the glasses. Still, you could see the anger in his mannerisms. Yeah, I mean, they're gonna get their shot at the tag belt to lose, and I could see, Jay turning. Yes, and it's probably time. Yes, Yeet still has its Pavlovian response in the buildings, but I think more and more people are tiring of it if you're not in the building that night. Survivor Series was probably
That was a jump in the shark moment.
yeah, that was the jump the shark moment. I just forgot that term for a second. Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the
Oof.
jump the shark. And at the end of the day, well, at the end of the year here, now that the full year has played out since, Jey Uso's Royal Rumble win, and the Royal Rumble really was the peak of Jey Uso. Outkicking his coverage, it just never should have gone above Intercontinental. Never should have or beyond. Occasionally teaming with the main eventers, he could visit the main event, but yeah, just Jey Uso's world champion didn't work.
Well, here's the thing is, I think they caught something. They thought they saw they had something and they caught it, right? And
Yeah.
it's kind of like, you know, you catch, there's a fly around. You catch it, and then you go, oh, I caught it. And then you open your hand, it flies off. And, oh, crap, I got to wrangle it in again. And it seems like with Jay, that's what happened. And I don't think he helped his own cause. Like,
no.
Everything got
he's
stuck.
He's not a good singles wrestler at the end of it. He's not a good singles wrestler.
Yeah, and I've read and seen other people say that Jimmy's the better of the two singles.
I don't even know. I don't know if I don't say know. That, but I don't think they're. I don't think either of them are really good. Are really good in singles. It's, you know.
Yeah, but it's like, how do I? I mean,
and as you said with the women, you know, it's not 1985 anymore. Yeah. You can't be bad. You can't be a bad wrestler or whatever. And not that really Hogan wasn't a good wrestler in his own way.
Even, but when he gave up,
guys like that. You know. What?
When Hogan, I mean, Hogan worked his ass off for a long time, then just didn't.
But the formula worked better than anything they were trying to figure out with Jey Uso though too.
And I think that's part of the problem too is. I read this a lot, and I didn't really agree with it, but maybe this is it. He just relied on the gimmicks.
Yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That, and then, like, you know, it was a lot of, you know, yeet, the super kick like crazy, spear, and then the splash. Yes, John Cena.
He does not have
a
good spear either.
No. But it's like John Cena's got his five moves, you know, and, you know, less is more sort of thing. But it never really got into the, well, less is more, but I've got more. So maybe it went as far as it can. I don't know. It seemed like the interest waned in it by creative and anybody else associated with getting him to get to a next level. But also you're selling merch. He's what, top five for their merch still?
Yeah, they made a ton of money off of him. If he's never getting the world championship again, you know, everyone involved did make some money for a run, and a lot of people, maybe a lot of guys in this and girls in this industry don't get that run. So
yeah,
you know, he's had it. He's one of those people maybe who wasn't meant to be a long term headliner, and I think post Royal Rumble we even said that. If this is even if it only lasts 3 to 6 months, then it only lasts 3 to 6 months.
Yeah, I mean, well, Jeff Hardy had his problems, but like I'm trying to think of like other wrestlers that had like a short run like that. Nothing really comes to mind though, but I'm sure there's somebody.
Jeff Hardy.
Jeff had his own reasons. So
yeah, Jeff's definitely wanted to mention it. Warrior? No. Goldberg? I mean,
well. The WWE version, sure.
Yeah.
But no, it's like I'm in the wait and see with this and to see where they go.
Yeah.
Because it's step one, but yeah, man, Jay didn't even take his glasses off. He just got pissed at everybody. And Jim was like, hey, like it almost seemed like he lost their timing or lost their place. And, like, Jimmy wasn't done with his stuff yet. But then Jay just jumped the gun. So the end of the segment was the part that kind of told me. But it's like, I know you're supposed to turn your baby, like, your big baby face when they're hot, right? Because if they're not.
Something like that, yeah.
If they're not, then, you know, no one cares. But at the same time, what are we going to have? A heel Jey Uso versus who?
I better not be Jimmy.
Well, Naomi's going to have a child eventually, so he's got to go. But do we want him turning on, like, you know? Like,
do we want him versus Jimmy, him versus Roman again?
That's where I was going next is, you know?
No.
Those
didn't work.
No, thank you. I don't want retreads either, which is like I keep seeing WrestleMania, maybe Cody and Roman again. And I'm like, come on, man.
If the issue is he's not a good singles wrestler... Or a main event level singles wrestler, then there's no answer to this question, really.
Yeah.
There's no good answer here. The answer is putting him back in a tag team and just saying, hey, well, we cut out of this.
Yeah, but it's like it's just a lot of retreads. Raw, like, that's where a lot of this is going. I mean, they even said New Day and the Usos again.
Of course. Again, yeah, no. I've got no interest.
I mean, even like the Rey Mysterio Logan Paul stuff. Again, that's happened already.
Yeah.
LA Knight Logan Paul. Again. Like, what's going on here? You got, you know, you've got all these other wrestlers you can be utilizing, and instead, you know, we're going backwards.
Yeah, it does feel that way. It does feel like we're retreading matches. Hell, even when they were advertising a Rey Mysterio Finn Balor, I'm like, again? We've seen this 50 times over the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
Because Rey can't stop feuding with the Judgment Day.
And it's funny, Finn's like, well, that was an easy night for me. I was like, man, you've had easy nights for 4 months. You show up, you don't work, and you go home. So
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out, is he hurt?
I had a casual friend who watched the Survivor Series, hasn't watched anything in a while, asked me, is Finn Balor now just Dominic Mysterio's lackey? Pretty much yes.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like that was
because
going
dropped,
somewhere.
Because they dropped it. They dropped a lot of the tension, and at this point, no one would care. No one will care.
Yeah, I mean, even Liv coming back, he's just kind of like, hey, she's hey, and moving on. Like, well, wait a second. He did not like her, and like he was supposedly the catalyst for them getting together. So I don't know. I liked my idea that I was talking to Kevin. That I think it would have been, and it's just kind of gotten totally different, that the guys, except for Dom, get kicked out of Judgment Day. And it's Liv, Raquel, Roxanne, and Dom. And obviously Liv. Because you don't see something like that.
Yeah.
So,
No. Yeah. And Liv is pretty much the leader of the group. And they did how they played it with Raquel, you know, going over Liv's head to challenge Stephanie Vaquer first, and leaving Liv to now have to be partners with Roxanne, who she doesn't even really like.
Yeah,
I guess that was an interesting way to play it.
Yeah, but it was also weird because last week, like the whole Judgment Day segment ended with Liv accepting Roxanne and going, go get these tag team titles.
True, she did. She did do that. Yeah,
and it's like, well, they just totally ignored that this week. Like,
they didn't really ignore it because, you know, Liv did play it off like, hey, I thought I was going for the world title next.
Yes.
Or first or whatever.
Yes.
So they didn't totally ignore it, but yeah, it's definitely a change from where we thought everything was going.
Yeah, but then you got Stephanie Vaquer come out and go, you know, I'll take on any challenger next. It's like, well, Liv got in your face last week. I mean, unless Liv isn't ready yet, which is, you know, you can bring him back and then, you know, she doesn't wrestle yet. So, but yeah, like, I don't know. It's not a burial. Like, I guess we were talking about burials, but, you know, it's not a burial of Finn, but man, that guy's done nothing. He signed a new deal and he's done jack with it. But, getting paid. Good for you.
Getting paid. So. They still make time for him on TV every week.
Yes, they really do. So, well, the other thing on our list, let's see. Well, John Cena's last match is Saturday. I will miss it. I'll have to watch it in afterward.
Wow.
After fact. Yes, I have a concert. I have a 3-day concert I'm going to starting Thursday.
Okay.
So, although that band, the guys are wrestling fans. So they may not start until the show's over.
No.
I'm being dead serious. Like, it's a small club. So,
when you say that, are you going to see the same band 3 nights in a row play the exact same songs in the same order?
No, it's a different set every night because this is their last 3 concerts. They're breaking up.
Ah, okay. Oh,
so
wow.
They're like, yeah, we're doing songs from every album. So,
oh, cool. That's cool.
Well, these Sags, I discovered them like 2 years ago. They're local and they're really good.
Yeah.
So I discover them, and now they're breaking up. Like, oh, that's cool. Good. Can't have nice things.
All the local musical groups I like here are just cover bands. I have no interest in learning new music.
That's all Well, my Spotify age, I'm 23 years old. So apparently I listen to a lot of new music. I don't know what that meant. But anyways, someone who's not 23 years old is John Cena. He has repeatedly said over and over again he's old. He can't go. He wants to get out before... he can't wrestle anymore. He's giving it all he can. and snore. Did you watch or listen to Tom Rinaldi?
No, I have not, and I have no intention to. After you warned,
Okay.
you warned me not to. Why would I?
Wow. Really, you have that strength, Chris? Wow, where do you find that strength to not go and listen? Oh my God. Oh my God. It was, I don't like Tom
Fucking Tom
Rinaldi.
Rinaldi.
Everyone
I
can make
can't
the
stand
jokes.
him.
Hey, big game today. You know, number one versus number two. You know, fighting for their playoff life, whatever. But first, here's Guatemalan paraplegic cancer kids to make everyone sad. Like, wait, what?
It's so true.
Where the hell did this come from? Well, on the way to the hospital, tragedy struck. Little Will's grandmother died in a fiery inferno, and his dad lost his eyesight due to the intense heat trying to save her. And you're like, can you talk about anything else? Like, anything else? And then you're at the end like, God, life sucks, man. Like, this stinks. They're like, oh, and then we're back on college game day. Oh, now it's big noon, but just God damn. So all that aside, yeah, man. Oh, they're actually covering what happened on TNA on NXT, by the way. But anyways, so this press tour, he's been all over. He was on Joe Rogan. He did Chris Van Vliet, the Tom Rinaldi one that they've been advertising for months. This thing is an hour and a half of nothing, or hour of nothing. Nothing. Just nothing. So there's literally no reason to watch any of them.
I watched Rogan. I probably got maybe the best of them, I guess. Or just the one where he definitely, from that and probably all the clips I've seen or whatever, and you know, excerpts that were put on news sites, he has like five talking points he has to hit in every interview.
Yep.
And once he hits those, then it's, you know, then it's even worse word salad for the more random questions that.
Yeah. Like, it's just, you know, I mentioned it in the chat. That whole Miz segment all those years ago is absolutely mm-hmm. true.
It's absolutely true. The man is a robot.
You're never going to know the real him. You're never going to know the real him.
No. No. One time, Lance Storm was doing one of his shows with Brian Alvarez. This is probably about 10 or so years ago. And Lance, especially in Cena's early days, Lance was like, Cena made me seem like the life of the party.
Yeah. But at the same time, you hear other stories about Cena that were not so nice.
No, and they don't want you. They don't want you to know about the story he told like 20 years ago on Howard Stern. He was promoting the Marine about how he on a drunken dare took some fat chick back to his hotel and banged her.
Yeah, or like there's the Jericho story about how he out drank Chris Jericho, and Jericho woke up in the hotel with John Cena sitting in the chair still drinking. And he goes, where'd you get that? He's like, it's yours. He's like, so not only this motherfucker out drink me, he's drinking my beer when I wake up. Like, so you know there's an entirely different personality that has been buried under this corporate PR
gem. Oh, he is so corporate. He is such,
gem
oh,
of
God,
responses.
He is such a bitch. I mean, God, I mean, this PR tour was the opposite of what I think they wanted to accomplish here.
He's got a whole Hollywood thing he has to adhere to now.
Yeah, but even in that world, he's boring. He's not interesting.
No, unless he turns into a total flake like those two weirdos from the Wicked movie. You know, at least get some press that way for being like strung out on whatever those two chicks are on. So. Yeah, maybe we're cynical, all right? So let me play devil's advocate for a second. Maybe we're cynical. Maybe the way he's acting is genuine and that he really has this mindset of unabashed positivity, of always like seeking to be this great person or seeking to be like, you know, the perfect role model. And I'm like, man, just be like Hulk Hogan. You know,
just be the biggest hypocrite who ever walked the face of this earth.
I mean, you know, surprise me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
Hulk Hogan had a lot of surprises, particularly in the last 4 years of his life.
Yeah, so maybe not like bad surprises, but or at least like it's everything is such a carefully crafted creation.
Yeah,
that you never get anything real. And it's like, well, you know, when they tell you, well, I've got to do this, like, you don't have to do this. You get to do this. You get to go out there. Shut up.
Oh, that's that. I hate that stuff. Oh, that's that workaholic culture bullshit. Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, just pseudo intellectual. You know, motivational speaking shit. Yeah, yeah. I have no time for any of it.
You know what? It's fine to be a workaholic. If you really do love what you're doing, it's a lot easier, right? But the idea that I'm thankful for every sunshine or I'm thankful for every morning or whatever else, like, well, at a certain point in life, sure. But do you really think, like, you're 20, you're like, oh, well, maybe that's a bad example for me. But you're thinking when you're 7, you're like, oh, thank God. You know, I'm blessed with another day. Like, I don't understand that irrational positivity of, like, supreme thankfulness for things that are just regular. It doesn't make any sense to me. But watching and listening to this stuff is just... What is it, human Xanax? Is that stuff that makes you fall asleep?
Yeah.
Something
like that.
Like,
cure from insomnia, yeah.
Yeah. But it's like, they keep trying to talk about Vince with him. And I will admire the fact that he skirts the issue in a perfectly crafted way while still praising Vince McMahon. I think it was Rogan where he said he never wanted him to leave. But obviously with the dealings going on, you know, he had to leave or whatever else. And it's like, what do you mean with what was going on? He's getting sued. And then the government's coming after him again. So, yeah, you kind of got to go. So, oh, no, the government dropped theirs, didn't they?
Yeah, I think
it's just hers now.
Now that Trump's president, then that's never going to happen. Yeah, obviously, of course.
But no, I just want to hear something real. I want to hear him say something wrong. You know?
Yeah.
Because as much as we all try, as much as we all, you know, no one wants to. I mean, well, not no one, but I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. You know? Well, I mean, I have wanted to, but in general, I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. But I want to have that opportunity to say something wrong. Because if you've carefully crafted everything that you talk about and everything you do and every way you live your life, you're not going to learn anything. So it's like the fall to stand up. And he would rather just walk as slow as possible so he never falls. But then has the audacity to go, well, you know, I've made plenty of mistakes. How do you make mistakes when you carefully craft your life that way? You know, I don't get it.
Yeah.
But this is your topic, and I'm the one talking about it. Cause it just annoys the shit out of me. So just you said you wanted this, so be prepared. But
No. I also figured that you had a lot to say about it. You ended up having more to say about it than I did because – you have this insatiable appetite for all this wrestling crap.
Yeah, and that's true. You
watch these damn things.
Yeah, I didn't watch Van Vliet because I saw clips and everyone tries to talk about the heel turn. And he's like, you know, he's like, well, so what went wrong? He's like, well, it's not what's wrong. It's what changed. And, you know, they came to me. He's like, this changed. And I was like, all right, good. We'll just go with it. We'll go with the change. He goes, well, what changed? He goes, it's not important. Oh, my God. It is absolutely important because it changed. If it wasn't important, it wouldn't have mattered. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So he won't say a bad word about anybody. Not that I'm asking for, I don't like drama stuff, but to have an honest opinion about something, you know, is an absolutely foreign concept here. And I admire Steve Austin for disappearing to his farm.
Yeah.
I wish he'd come back because I really like Steve Austin. But you know what? Nah, you just stay there. You know, enjoy your life with your cats and your dogs and your farm and your wife and whatever he does with his day now.
Yeah, yeah.
Good for him.
No, no, absolutely. The quieter you are, the better. Yes, yeah. We've gone too far with wrestlers having to speak on every topic and try to be honest, or their version of honest, or sound honest, I should say.
Right, and that to me is another part of the annoyance. Like, you're done, right? And I see both sides of this, but if it comes at the expense of being honest, then don't say it. I know there's laws too, but if someone's asking you about a situation, and obviously it's going to be your side of what happened, right? You know, there's their side, this side, and what's in the middle, and then the truth. But to never have a bad thing to say about anything, that's creepy. It's creepy. To not, yeah, to sit there and go, well, so there were things that you guys didn't get along. No, we'd have a dust up, whatever, and we came to like a mutual understanding. It's like, oh my god. Just say you don't like each other.
Well, of course. Well, the flip side of that is, of course, Bret Hart.
yeah. Well, boy, you will know, Bill Goldberg, that you are not liked. Yeah, but it's, I guess I give you a one-time thing. You know, like, you don't want to talk about it all the time, right?
Right.
But
no, you're right, yeah.
If you bring it up, Becky Lynch, follow through, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That vague, not, that kind of died quick. So
that did die quick. I was actually surprised how quick that died.
You know, it's gutless to do stuff like that. But there are laws that make you have to do that. And then that means you just don't do that. So
yeah,
it's like the Notre Dame athletic director. Shut the fuck up.
I am unfamiliar with that story.
Notre Dame missed the college football playoff because they should have.
Okay. Yeah.
They play no one. The only two teams that were good they played, they lost. I don't care if it was the first two games of the season. You lost to the only two good teams who are both, I think, in the playoff. Well, he's been whining. They refuse to go to a bowl game now. They're whining about their placement. They're whining at the ACC, a conference that they are joined in with every sport but football, politicked or, you know, supported Miami over Notre Dame, as they should, because Miami is part of the conference. This AD will not stop talking about how unfair the treatment was. And it's like, well, you're not getting in the playoffs, and you're coming off like a bitch. Now, I'm sure Notre Dame fans will disagree, but you're wrong because you're Notre Dame fans to begin with. So being rational isn't exactly your strong point. So, but like they're saying like they went on this perfect run. We ran a 10-game gauntlet against teams that had a losing record, but 8 out of the 10 had losing records. Or 9. No, I'm sorry, 7. So, but it's stuff like that. Stop talking because you make yourself sound stupid. But anyways, I went off on a rant.
So, yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
And the funny thing is, when you said about what the Notre Dame guy said, I'm like, what did he say? Is it something racist? Something interesting? No, it's okay. No. Football politics stuff.
Yeah, but you also don't see an athletic director go scorched earth the way he has.
No, I guess not.
So
no.
In that respect, it's interesting. In that respect, I will say, cool, that's what he said. Right? The other respect is, shut up, you're in the wrong.
Yeah.
You know? But anyways, yeah, but the John Cena thing, wrestler interviews, like, I don't know if this was what, like you said, what they wanted. Like, him just coming out like a robot, promoting an event that's sold out. No, like, Peacock, yeah. Didn't you send the thing where Peacock, if you try to cancel, will give it
no,
to
I
you?
No, I didn't try to cancel. Somebody else. I saw that on Reddit somewhere.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm not going to try to cancel before Saturday's main event.
This
is the only reason I'm still here.
Well, if you get it, but if you cancel now, you get it to the end of the month still. So, you know.
I actually looked about that. My subscription actually ends on the 13th.
Oh, tricky.
Yeah, that is actually that is a little tricky. So I'll reconvene on my Peacock decision next month.
Yeah, well, I have a VPN that's cheaper than that, so yeah, I'll be getting rid of that after I watch what I want to watch. So the streaming stuff, oof. No, sorry, I got wrapped up in the end of NXT. We're missing a barn burner, it looks like. But yeah, I don't know. Are you excited at all or intrigued or any of that by this final match coming up? Or just the Saturday night's main event in general?
Well, let's take that in two parts. Mm-hmm. Since we're talking about Cena, the match itself, I get what they're trying to do with the hook being Gunther wanting to make Cena tap out. The problem is, we had to go through this rigmarole of this whole tournament. And Cena hasn't been on TV since Survivor Series. And Cena was, you know, fully focused on Dominic Mysterio. So we're not getting any interactions between Cena and Gunther.
Yeah. Yep.
And I'm not sure how it was planned out that way or why it was. There was no need to go through this tournament. It leaked out in October. Gunther was going to be the match, and they went through with it. They did not change even after Meltzer found out. Meltzer must have some good sources again because he is spoiling WWE storylines months in advance, pretty regularly now. And yeah, so yeah, we've done nothing really much to set the plate for this. Again, I'm disappointed in what they did. I mean, they did that maybe a couple of quick Cena video. We haven't had like the full scale, you know, sappy ballad Cena tribute video. I thought we would see that by Monday. We didn't see that. It's weird. It's like Survivor Series was the real crescendo, and it's petering out at the end here. You could argue that real crescendo was even earlier than that, but you know they did say it. Cena's last rivalry was with Dominic Mysterio.
Yeah.
It was 3 weeks, but, you know, they got a lot out of that 3 weeks. This, they're getting nothing out of it. Gunther doesn't need it. Again, you know, we've had so many, just since he's turned back face, we've had so many, you know, high emotional moments. You know, the crowd reactions in Chicago, Australia, New York, Boston, you know, and then San Diego was pretty wild. Mm-hmm. And now we're going to shithole Washington, D.C. for his last match with the specter of Trump possibly appearing or Vince poking his head out, you know, in at least some realm of possibility.
Yeah, the opportunity to have Vince there or to appear on screen, that right, that immediately becomes the bigger story.
It does.
And I
as
don't...
well as Trump being there, we the same thing.
Yeah.
It would turn things upside down too much. I,
Right.
If you want to do something with Cena, send him to the White. Send him to the White House to get some kind of medal for his Make-A-Wish work or something.
Yeah.
On Friday or Saturday.
Or like do that. It That's... off camera.
Yeah.
You know, something. But the second Vince shows up, it's a bigger story than Cena retiring. Trump showing up is whatever. You know, like, it's Trump. But also, you know, it... I don't think John would do that or would want that. That Trump interaction, because how carefully crafted everything is.
Yes.
You know, he can't.
But show... if you listen to his interviews, this is a man with some conservative values.
Anybody who's rich is going to have conservative values.
Well, yeah.
You know, that's just how it goes.
Well, there's all the Hollywood folks who might be faking it.
Oh yeah, of course.
But Cena's, But Cena, yes, carefully crafted, doesn't want to get in the same trouble other people have gotten into, doesn't want to get any trouble. Yeah.
Yeah, he wants no trouble whatsoever.
Right.
You know, I guess.
Vince does appear to be the hill he's willing to die on.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. But again, I think everyone around there is smart enough to realize Vince shows up, that's the only thing that happens. That's the only part of the story that matters anymore.
Right, yeah.
So I think everyone, including Vince, is smart enough to realize that.
Keep him back. If he shows up to the building, keep him backstage, yeah.
Yeah, yes, exactly, yeah. It was his creation. It was his, you know, it was Vince's oversight that got Cena where he is, you know, all those years of constantly shoving him down our throat to the point where now Cena's like, oh, man, he's leaving. Where before we're like, get this guy out of here.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny. Yeah. So
it is all funny. And I'm sure, you know, it'll be a great crowd reaction. It just feels like a weird place to do it, but you know, corporate, you know, we got site fees and all that shit.
Yep. So,
and yeah, I mean, and again, I'm sure from the moment Cena steps out of that curtain to the moment he walks back through it, I'm sure it's going to be electric. But in terms of him and Gunther, they've had no time to tell a story.
Yeah, at all. And
they've just struggled with, since the face turn, the turn back, deciding what is the remainder of this retirement tier supposed to be?
Mm-hmm.
Is it supposed to be him feeling threatened by Brock Lesnar, or is it him goofing around with AJ Styles?
Yep.
It's been this mixed message, and literally 3 weeks after getting destroyed by Brock Lesnar, he's, you know, basically, as much as we all enjoyed it, he's basically going out there and playing patty cake with AJ Styles 3 weeks after getting destroyed by Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Not showing any ill effects or any anger about what happened or anything.
Yeah, and it will also, if in his interviews, he told Tom Rinaldi he wanted to do 240 dates or 244 dates. And they told him, no, we only need you for this much. So by his words, he was willing to work more, and they said no. Well,
they don't have those dates anymore.
Well, yeah, but it's like, you know.
But yeah, no, they.
This could have been avoided.
This could have been bigger, and this could have, they could have had avoided the weird moments of it's just not had. Because once they gave up on the heel turn and they gave it up on it in a way that they never gave it up on anything before, they basically just had somebody go out there and, oops, my bad, I'm back to myself again. No big angle to even to turn him back.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing like that has ever. I'm pretty sure nothing like that has ever happened before. At least on the level of something that mattered this much.
Yeah, just out of the blue.
But since then, there's been no through line for the rest of his retirement tour.
It wasn't. Didn't his other big than, face other than turn?
3 weeks, what?
Wasn't his face turned the day before SummerSlam?
It was the day before SummerSlam, so they couldn't even get through SummerSlam and have him, you know, shake Cody's hand after the match. No.
Yeah.
They had to clank beers like Cody was Stone Cold.
Yeah.
The day before, it was very strange.
Well, speaking of Cody, NXT's over, so spoiler alert. He will be facing Obafemi.
Okay, I figured.
Well, exactly what I told you in the beginning of the show was what happened. So this NXT thing, it's, I don't know. Like, the matches are kind of fun, but
they could be fun, but I just see that it being a thing that if you want this to be a big deal, if you want this to, you know, do numbers on, at least on the level of the Netflix debut, you know, with people tuning in who haven't tuned in a long time, or maybe some new viewers or what have you, these matches aren't going to hold their interest.
I'd be very curious.
They're just not.
Well, I think I'd be very curious, though, for the people who haven't seen Obafemi, because he hasn't been on WWE TV. I think I'm curious to see people's reactions to him. He's bigger than Cody.
He is bigger than Cody, but again, because they haven't done anything really to establish him, and the gulf between NXT ratings and the numbers that, and SmackDown ratings and the numbers Raw gets on Netflix, it's like quadruple. Almost.
Yeah.
It's 3 to 4 times. That's how little people are really familiar with NXT. Now, in the building, you'll have your hardcore fans who play hundreds of dollars, so they'll know who Obafemi is. But you'll get your guy at home with a beer in his hand going, why is this fella marching like a bushwhacker?
I do not like that, by the way. I think
his march?
Yeah, I don't like it.
I don't like it either. No.
No. No one used to pay attention to their theme music. And now, well, I guess Hogan did, but I'm not going to go on a rant.
Every entrance has to be so elaborate with so many taunts and whatever built in. And everyone's got to have their thing as they walk down, as they make it down to the ring now. And everyone's got to look around the crowd like with that big wide eyed, like they've never seen anything like this before, instead of, you know, owning the moment and being, you know, serious, you know, walking down to the ring or whatever.
Yeah. So, yep.
Yeah, no, I don't like it. Yeah. No, it's the worst part of his presentation by far, because he doesn't look good doing it.
And I get the feeling that's going to go away. I think so too. Because it'll take him forever to get down the ring, by the way. So
Well, some of these shows, they don't mind that.
True.
At this point, they feel like the entrance is more of what people are paying for than the actual matches, I think. Well, Survivor Series, that was damn sure true.
Yeah. What other matches do we have for the NXT people?
We have Sol Ruka versus Bayley.
True, yes.
Technically, a good match. But again, I don't see it as something that's going to, you know, once again, this casual, lapsed, whatever fan is not going to be, their interest isn't going to be held by this thing.
Right.
So you're going to have, and they really probably should have involved more WWE main eventers or semi-main eventers in these things. God bless Bayley, and God bless her, but, and we haven't brought it up, her training camp thing that she did, you know, wonderful, wonderful thing that she did over last week. But her beating her isn't a big deal. She loses a lot as it is.
I don't think of the NXT people are going to win.
I think Sol Ruka can win because Bayley can lose. And if they have, maybe they'll have one more match and that person will win too. But
all right. Well, who are the other ones?
And then this is a really weird one because it involves a TNA guy. It's Devon Evans and Leon Slater against AJ Styles and Dragon Lee.
That's what I thought that was the other one.
Again. Could be technically fantastic, but again, no reason to really care.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're that 3 to 4 times the audience who only watches Raw and SmackDown, and possible casual and lapsed viewers or what have you watching. Yeah, this is an idea that, you know, if it was truly John Cena's from the start, you know, well intentioned, but in execution, it's lacking something. It's lacking more purpose than just doing it.
Well, I think having it be so quick before the show or so close to the show, some of this could have been built up at least introduce them. Have like a have a spotlight match on Raw or SmackDown. Hey, this is who you're going to see. Now, Javon doesn't need that. He's already been on, so that's fine.
Javon needs more work than a lot of people think. In my opinion, not in the ring, but persona, carrying himself.
I just meant like introducing himself to the audience. You know, all of that, sure. Now,
and just you can't just have someone show up and wrestle. It's worked of maybe a handful of times or whatever, but it's.
Yeah, if these universes, if you want to use that, were intertwined, then sure, you wouldn't need to. But it'd be like, you know, Hank and Tank taking on AJ Styles and Dragon Lee. Who are dressed in a kimonos, by the way, now.
Oh, dear.
Yes, because they just came back from Japan. So, I don't know. Those guys kind of grew on me. But... that's, I'm looking forward to these just because we're never going to get like a singles match with AJ Styles and Javon Evans and, you know, Leon, I don't think he's ever faced Leon Slater.
He wouldn't have.
No.
I mean, they're talking about like, maybe they want AJ Styles to wrestle on that first Impact on AMC.
I don't know why you would, but
it's just not. It's just
It seems like fan service.
It's fan service, and it's not going to build your show going forward. No.
But I'm guessing Cena's going on last. It's on Peacock, so I guess they can do
it
as long as they want.
Right.
Hopefully. Yes. I mean, they have live events, so you know they can cop to more than 2 hours. You know. You know, football's over on Peacock at least, so, you know, they don't have to anything else to worry about. Like I said, basketball, but who cares? I'm looking forward to Saturday just to see what they do. Like, they're really making this out to be huge. And they're obligated to try and make it even bigger.
Yeah.
So... I guess.
And I was just saying I felt like it was petering out.
Well, but, how do you see this ending?
Well, first of all, we didn't make any kind of a pick for Cody and Oba.
Oh, I like I said, I don't think any of the NXT people win. This one could end in a double DQ or DQ or tossing the match out. Like,
yeah, I can see them having Drew McIntyre show up
or Ricky Saints as well, because you know it's Cody's buddy.
That hasn't been established on WTV.
Mean just in general, Cody getting him on broadcast TV.
Yeah,
that's all.
Especially a show
like this. So, I do expect all the WWE guys to win because Cena did not win his debut. So, you know, if he actually has a real hand in this, I can see him going, no, this is not how it goes. So, all right, his match, I think Cena wins. I really do.
The too easy finish is Gunther putting Cena in the sleeper and Cena passing out and not tapping.
That's what I've seen a lot of people say. Isn't that kind of a cop-out?
It is a cop out, but I'm not sure Cena. Yeah, but yes, Cena tapping also might be too depressing. So you have a Gunther who is too obsessed with a submission getting caught by Cena at the last second. He doesn't have to get an AAM. He doesn't have to make him tap out to the SDF. He could just get him with a roll up or a small package.
How did Kurt Angle beat him? How did Kurt Angle beat John Cena?
I think he just. He either hit him with the ankle slam or he made him tap out to the ankle lock.
Let me see if I can find it real quick. Because I think that'd be a fun callback. And on the topic of Gunther, does he need this?
You know, he has never needed this.
You know I love Gunther.
Yeah.
But it's weird. It honestly feels like
it should have been done.
Yeah. I'm just looking it up, so it's all you.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. John C. lost in several matches, blah, 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 blah. Oh, oops, lose. In debut. Let's see. Oh, he tapped out.
Yeah,
he tapped out to the ankle, to the angle or lock, whatever it was called. The hell was it? It was called the angle lock, right? The ankle lock? No, what the? Why am I drawing a blank?
I think they just. I think it's one of those things that like you think you remember that it was called. They ever call it the angle lock, but they never did.
Yeah, it was just the ankle lock. Oh wow.
Yeah. Okay. It's like one of those things. Like it's one of those things. Like growing up with Berenstain Bears, and then one day finding out it's Berenstain.
Yeah. Well, also like they keep showing Cena's debut, and that ruthless aggression he lets out is still cringy as hell.
Oh, so that whole era was cringy.
Oof. But
they had all the talent in the world, and when the creative was shit, because they had everybody at that point. You know, like Hogan and Hall and Nash were around for God's sakes.
Yeah,
and Austin was true. Still in, and The Rock was still in, and you know, well, that was kind of right after Austin left, but still, they had everybody at that point, and the creative was garbage.
Oh, but yeah, so I do think they may give the happy ending, if like what a Gunther's whole thing is making him tap out that he has to give up. I can see him passing out because the whole thing is never give up, but sometimes you run out of gas, you know?
But then it feels like a cop-out, and then at some point Cena still has to wake up.
Yeah.
And take part in his real farewell. Because the post-match is more important than the match
exactly.
itself in a lot of ways.
Exactly, yes. Mm-hmm. And it almost feels as if Gunther, they should have gone with that little swell of a face turn, where people were cheering him. And then maybe just have like a passing of the torch thing. Like, all right, man, this is your company to go with now. Instead of, yo, you beat me. I'm done. But I don't know. Gunther is in a weird spot now. That's for damn sure. So. But that is for later. So. We'll see what happens Saturday. I think we're out of stuff for a change.
Yeah.
Or did you have more to give us?
No, I think topic. We covered everything very well here. I think this was fun.
All right. Maybe we should actually have topics from now. That actually went pretty easy. We've still got our like quick asides and weird shit in, but you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course.
I had to wash off the stink of that NXT episode. That's for sure. But. But yeah, so predictable nonsense. Well, it's not predictable. Ricky Saints works better as a bad guy anyways. So
yeah.
There's just people who work better as bad guys.
He's one that's just like is he really that good?
Or does he just get good
press because he's friends with some people in the wrestling media?
I think he's good, but it's kind of, it's not an exposure thing. He's got an uphill battle to climb. He's never going to be a top guy. Never.
Yeah.
But you say never, he'll be main event WrestleMania in 2 years.
Right.
You know? So I think he has all the talent. He can talk. He can wrestle. The look is still... Mm-hmm. You know, do the old 6'7". See, I'm hip. But, and then there's, never mind. We can't get into this. I was going to say, there's so many people, there's so many people in NXT who shouldn't be there. Someone actually, someone posted on Reddit a, let's check in with the winners of the NXT Originals versus NXT New Breed, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Tony D, Grayson Waller. Braun Breaker, I can't remember who the other guy was. Two of the four are still in NXT. 4 years ago. Oh, and Andre Chase, 5. 3 out of the 5 are still there. Not good. So, but anyways, that's our show for this week, everybody. Thanks for listening. I think, is it you and Kevin for Thursday? I can't remember.
It's either me and Kevin or Shahid and Kevin.
Okay, cool.
I'll stand by.
All right. Well, I will be at a concert for 3 days. So,
okay,
you fun. Guys have fun, and I'll let Chris take us out.
You know where to find us. You've always, you already found us. That's exactly where you'll find us next time. Peace out. Later.